praise the Lord. You should be in Galatians chapter 6, and we're starting a new series. I don't know if it's a whole new series or not. We'll see. It's for the next few weeks, and so I'll give you the title in a little bit. But as we just finished the wait series, we were looking at Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I was getting to the end of studying out, they shall walk and not faint. And I thought about Galatians 6:9, which we're about to read in a little bit, about growing weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And I laughed because our next four months of scripture is Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. So I was like, okay, Lord, thank you for the nice introduction into where we needed to go anyway. And so we're going to start this slightly early, but not really. We ain't going to get far today. We just going to rest in what God has for us. But we're in Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read together verses 7 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. If you're there, say, I have it. Let's begin. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Give God a praise offering. So I like to call this the due season series. But we ain't even going to get to the due season verse today. We got to do a little homework and research, right? And so this is Paul writing to the churches of Galatia. And so while in most instances Paul is writing to a particular church, even though we all benefit from it, the churches of Galatia are a bigger group that he is addressing through this letter, which probably gives some indication that they were pretty close if they were all getting together and sharing this letter out among the multiple churches that were in the region. They had to get along, had to have some sort of consortium and fellowship with one another, which probably strengthened them greatly. And what we're focusing on today is the last chapter in this letter, and we're looking at verse 7. We're going to start with verse 7, and it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And so me, who loves to look at the context of Scripture, said, well, let me look at what he said in the verse before. So if you look at verse 6, it says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. I'm like, okay. And I was like, okay, so let me look at some of the verses that came before. And then I hopped up to verse 3, and it says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And so I said, okay, let me hop up a few more verses. So verse 2 says we're supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And verse 1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And it had me thinking a lot about our posture as we approach the things, the work, and the people of God. So Paul starts out this letter talking about someone who has gotten off the path. And he says, and this is what the Amplified says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you are who are spiritual, you who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Which seems to me to say there are a couple of qualifications to approach a person who has been overtaken with the trespass. Because you who are spiritual are supposed to restore the person. So if you are not responsive to and controlled by the Spirit of God, it's not your job to set him right and restore and reinstate him. It's also not your job to talk about said person. It's also not your job to think that you're better than said person. You're supposed to do it without a sense of superiority and with gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself. You're supposed to mind yourself, lest you should be tempted also. So that must mean in the process of restoring someone back, there is a temptation to act like you're better than that person, and you have to run from that. You also have to run from, if you're not being controlled and led by the Spirit of God, trying to be the person to restore that person. If you are in the ditch, which is what that means, if you're not responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, then you're responsive to and controlled by the world or your flesh. And so you can bring such a person back to restore them. You ever wonder why it's not just the level of faith that allows you to cast out certain demons? That's why sometimes some of y'all need to run away from these demons, not because you don't have the power or that you're not aligned with the person who has the power, but because you're unfit for the job at the time. And you don't want to mess with that stuff. Because you don't want to be in a position where you don't know that God is God and you have impurities in your heart. So as you are thinking and looking at one another, it is very easy for us to look at the other person and decide or judge that they need to do X, Y, and Z to get out of this situation. Maybe I should just find a way to tell them. Did the Spirit of God tell you to do that? Are you being led by the Spirit? Are you responsive to and being controlled by the Spirit of God? Because if you are, then the Spirit of God will be very clear in what you need to do. And sometimes all you need to do is pray for that person. You don't need to put your hands or your mouth near the person. And then verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we join the body of Christ here at Steadfast, and we think that our work is showing up to usher, or showing up to sing, or showing up to run the sound, or showing up to give out food to the community. But the real work is in how we treat one another. And verse 2 says to bear one another's burdens. In the Amplified, it says bear, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults, and in this way fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ, the Messiah, and complete what is lacking in your obedience to it. I'm going to read that again. Bear, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults, which means we should be bearing or carrying or enduring the faults of our fellow believers. It's not even talking about unbelievers, the ones here in this body of Christ that's steadfast. So if someone comes in and they have not been perfected in the mind of Christ yet, and they have poor self-esteem, and they tend to react in a way that puts you down to put them up, I, the person they choose to put down and supposed to bear the other person's burden. I'm supposed to endure it and carry it, and in this way fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ. I'm not supposed to get an attitude with the person and clap back. We love a good clap back. Oh, you ain't gonna be talking to me that way. Nope. I'm supposed to bear, endure, and carry the burden. And so fulfill and perfectly observe the law of Christ, the Messiah. Because when you think about it, God don't really clap back with us. I know, that was enough to shout and run around the church on. Thank the Lord that there is no heavenly clap back, because we would be knocked down. We deal with enough, but his grace is sufficient. So if we find ourselves being weak in a particular area, then we're strong because we're supposed to be operating in him. And so we're supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And this is where we go wrong. We think we somebody in Christ, and we're nothing in Christ. And we have deceived ourselves. And the reason I reached back to these verses is for this word deceive. Deceive means to roam. And this is the same deceive in verse 3 that is talking in verse 7 and some of these other scriptures we gonna hit today. Same deception. To deceive means to roam from safety, truth, or virtue. To roam from safety, truth, or virtue. To go astray. To err. To seduce. To wander. To be out of the way. To roam from safety, truth, or virtue. To go astray. To err. To seduce, to wander, to be out of the way. So you deceive yourself. You roam away from the truth when you think you're something and you're nothing. You deceive yourself. You go astray when you think you're something when you're nothing. That's what the scripture said. That ain't what I say. And the Amplified, it says, for if any person thinks himself to be somebody too important to condescend to shoulder another's load when he is nobody of superiority except in his own estimation, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. So if you think you're too important to bear the burden of one another, you're deceiving yourself. Because you should recognize as you are reconciling people back to Christ that it could have been you. Amen. Who was suffering from going astray. And this is the thing about deception. It's not easy to see. If something was easy to see, and I know I keep saying it, I feel like I've been saying it all year because I don't think we quite get it. If something is easy to see, then we avoid it. Sometimes when you're driving down the road, Diane said I hit every pothole on the way. We drove up North Main Street and I was in the right lane. If you know, you know. And they got all the potholes or whatever. And so I was not trying to hit every pothole, but they just disrespect the right side, the right lane in there. But you got to get in the right lane to turn on Ashley Street. So what you going to do? And so sometimes when you're driving down the road, you can see the big pothole and thus avoid it. Sometimes you look at something that looks real tiny and then you hit it and you realize you done misaligned your whole car because that thing was not what it appeared to be. It was deceptive because of its size. It was deceptive because of its shape. It was deceptive that you thought that you could avoid it altogether, that your car was wide enough just to drive over it. And we get in trouble because we think what we have perceived is what is and it's not. And the same thing happens with us with spiritual things. And if you think too highly of yourself and you think you somebody, well, I could have seen that coming. So, young woman, and Valerie goes out, decides to date a young man who was trying to get the draws. And she gave him the draws, and she ends up pregnant. And you, who don't have no children, say, well, Valerie should have known better. Because she should have known that was a no good N-word. Man, dude, she should have known. He wasn't about nothing. He wasn't coming to church regularly. He wasn't doing nothing for her. I would have known. And so you fall into the problem where you think you're something when you're nothing. Because you forgot the time that you fell for no good dude and gave him the draws, but you didn't end up pregnant. And so then you don't want to help bear Valerie's burdens, because Valerie's going to need a lot of help to train up this child in the way that they should go, so that when they're old, they're not depart from it. And so Valerie needs a community, and that community should start in the household of faith. Amen. But Valerie got paraded up in front of the church and shamed, and the young man out there in the street. And then it's a problem. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But we think we're more than we are when we're not anything, and we deceive ourselves. And verse 4 says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And in the Amplified, verse 4 says, but let every person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work. Worry about your own business. Don't be concerned about Valerie and her baby and her baby daddy. That's not on you. You're supposed to help, but you're not supposed to scrutinize Valerie and her actions, because it could have been you. And you got to examine and test your own conduct and your own work. Then he can have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable in itself alone, without resorting to boastful comparison with his neighbor. And this is the main problem. It's not that you look to the left or the right, but that you compare yourself with what has happened on the left or the right. And so you say, I never, so she should have never, and then you forget to mind your own work. Or you compare yourself and say, well, at least I got a divorce, but at least I got married. Well, who cares? You ain't with that Negro no way. Father still, the child still fatherless. Whether you married him or not, those are social constructs. This isn't about what's right and what's wrong. If you was really abiding in the word of God, you would have stayed with that man regardless. That's what Jesus said. Y'all be wanting out, so I'll give you some, but really you just need to stay married. That's what he say. If you really read the word, that's what Jesus say. Y'all just trying to give loopholes, so I'm giving y'all some outs. If he or she cheats on you, you know. But really, stick around and work it out. That's what he says. And so the word says you should marry and not burn. But we were out here having sex with folks, and we just ain't getting nobody pregnant. That's the only difference. But you have substituted that person's experience, Valerie's experience, for your experience. And what, Pastor Valerie, why do you use your own name? Because I'm nothing. And I'm no one. And I'm perfectly appropriate for this example, because if I'm saying I did it and you would say, I wouldn't do Valerie like that, well, why do you do so-and-so like that? Because if I'm worried about my own work, then I can take joy in saying, Lord, thank you for healing me emotionally so that I'd lean and depend on you and not on other people, that I present my body a living sacrifice as holy and acceptable to you from this moment on, so that I don't have to fall into that particular trap again. But I'm not going to consider myself better than Valerie, who had the baby. I'm not going to consider myself less than someone else who has more money than I do, or who has a better house than I do, or who has better cars than I do, or who has better clothes than I do. You know, I hate to tell you this, but being cute is hard work. Oh, Pastor Valerie, you look so good every week, and da da da. It takes a lot of planning and coordination, more so than I like to give to this thing called ministering, but far be it from me to wear the same outfit every week for 8 weeks. Then y'all gonna think something wrong. But it would be easy, and I would rather spend more time doing other things than trying to figure out clothes. But then you're comparing what I wear week by week. You don't know how much this dress costs. You just know what you think it costs. You don't know how old it is. This dress is so old that the store that I bought it from is not even open in the nation anymore. I bought it from Stein Mart. And Stein Mart ain't even open no more. You don't know how much I paid for this dress. I think I paid $15 or less for this dress when I bought it. It's a blessing from the Lord, but it's not like everything I got on is hundreds of millions of dollars. But you compare you and what you got on, not for learning purposes or edification or exhortation. You're not saying, oh, great, Pastor Valerie looks better, looks good today. You're saying, Pastor Valerie looks good, and then I don't look good. I need to do a little better. That's comparison. Just work on yourself. God didn't create you to be me. He made us individuals. You may never have picked out this outfit. Wouldn't be what you wear. But God made you, you. And he made me, me. I'm almost 50 years old. I'm not 20 years old. And I'm not 70 years old. I shouldn't be dressing like a 20-year-old or a 70-year-old, whatever that means. And I don't need to compare myself to a 20-year-old or a 70-year-old. That's not where I am. Let every person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work. He can then have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable in itself alone and without resorting to boastful comparison with his neighbor. It doesn't matter if the notes you hit sounded as well as the note that Miss Martha hit this morning. It doesn't matter if it sounded better or worse, because the word doesn't say make a joyful noise that sounds better than Miss Martha McDaniel's. The word says make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Did you make a joyful shout to the Lord? Or did you sit there and withhold praise from God because you don't want to be out there in them streets looking like that? Even though you have the freedom to worship and praise God in any way, and we know many ways that the word outlines appropriate actions to show praise to the Lord, but you sat there and judged Miss Martha and the way she sang today instead of being about your own praise. To what account? You didn't bear her burden and fulfill the law of Christ. You just sat there and looked. And when you think about all of the things that God has done for you, when you think about the words of the song, and you think about the joy that he has provided for you, then your body should react in a certain way to the person who created you. And so there should never be many dull or down times when you're focusing so much on the music, the song, that you forget that you have come into the presence of the Lord to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so you cannot get off focus because, one, you don't bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. And two, you think you something when you're nothing. If you always come into the presence of God thinking you're nothing, you'll be in good shape. Your face will be planted on the floor of the sanctuary. Don't worry, it's clean. That's why we keep it clean, so you can prostrate yourself at any time. Because it would be humbling for you to understand what it means to have the opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. Verse 5 says, for each one shall bear his own load. So the idea is for you to bear your own load. For every person will have to bear, be equal to understanding, and calmly receive his own little load of oppressive faults. We all gonna have stuff that we got. And so if we got stuff we got, and we're not looking with comparison at other people at what they got, and we're committed to bearing one another's burdens together, then we're busy about those things and we are not busy about judging other people and doing the inappropriate things. We're busy about the work of God in this house. Then verse 6 says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Verse 6 in the Amplified says, let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support, which means you should be sharing your good stuff with me. That's what the word says. That's not what I ask for. It says that that's part of what you should do, because as the pastor sows spiritually into your life, then you're supposed to sow carnal things into their life. And so if there is goodness to share that you have out of your abundance, then you're supposed to share it if you're being taught the word. If you're not being taught the word, go somewhere where you're going to be taught the word. You don't feel like the word of God is going forth, ask God to reveal where you're supposed to be. Or ask God to tune you in spiritually, because you need to know that the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It don't matter where you go. If your heart is not postured right toward God to receive the word from him, then you're not going to receive the word. And until you understand your responsibility in what we do in service, then service will never have life to you. You bring the life, not me. I'm bringing the word. The word is quick and powerful, not me. I'm just literally giving you the word today. We are reading scriptures from the word of God and interpreting for understanding. That's all we do. That's what teaching is. But it's your responsibility to learn. And so let him who is taught the word, if you're being taught the word, share in all good things with him who teaches. Then verse 7 says, do not be deceived. Do not roam away from the truth. Do not go astray, err, or be seduced or wandered to be out of the way. So deception is not a one-time thing. It's a lulling away from. If you look at the definition of the word, it's not like you get deceived one time, like you get robbed one time. Somebody sticks you up and take your money. That's not how deception works. It literally leads you away from where you're supposed to be. And the word is saying, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Mocked means really, literally in the Greek, your snout, to turn your nose up at. God is not to have your nose turned up at him. He is not to be ridiculed. In the Amplified, it says, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. I'm going to read that again. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside, which means this: we can deceive other people and we can deceive ourselves, but we can't deceive God. We cannot lead God off the path. We get led off the path. We can lead other people off the path, but we can't lead him off the path. So don't fool yourself into thinking that you're fooling God. He will not be mocked. You're not going to know the truth of the word of God and then go do something else and assume that something else is going to come as a result. You can try to come here and say a few amens as if you are participating in the church service and try to deceive us, but you're not deceiving him. You can come in here and try to put on a show for worship, but he knows what worshiping him in spirit and in truth means and what it is when you come in here. He knows you came and put on a show just so nobody will ask you what's wrong with you. I wish we would sometimes just be a little more honest. And maybe our honesty is built on the fact that we don't feel like we're not going to be judged by the person sitting next to us. If I come in here and I'm sitting here and I don't feel like it today, is the person beside me going to exalt me and build me up? Are they going to talk about me in the parking lot after I drive off real quick? Because you know you want to make a quick exit. After I drive off real quick, they just going to talk about me. What if we saw our brothers and sisters going through things, and if the Holy Spirit didn't tell us to tell them anything, we just got in our cars and said a prayer for them in that very moment? Father, I can see that Valerie is going through some things today. Help her today, Lord. I don't know quite what's going on, so I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost for her. That's bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. Oh, you know she had that, and her hair was jacked up today, and her makeup looked off. I saw her eyes were red, and I don't know. Maybe something going on. Maybe something going down. I see she looking a little puffier today. I wonder if she knocked up. Yes. Thank you for the feedback. And so we can get off the track and speak death over our brothers and sisters in Christ that we're supposed to be loving. We see in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of household of faith. So we're supposed to be doing good to everybody, but especially the folks in here. And so if we can't come in here and be our authentic selves and let God heal us, deliver us, sanctify us, make us whole, if we always got to have on a face or a front when we come in the house of the Lord, yeah, we're supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight. And you can be walking by faith and still give a mean mug because you are a spirit that lives in a soul and a body. And sometimes your body and your soul react before your spirit can make them align. But sometimes you just got to drag yourself to the place where you know healing takes place, where you know you're going to get the word of God regardless. So you just bring yourself on. Excuse me, but the word says, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. And the second part of the verse says, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Sows means to scatter. So whatever you scatter, and reap means to harvest, is what you will harvest. Whatever you scatter is what you will harvest. And the thing about sowing is there are three aspects to sowing when you're sowing. First is what is scattered. What are you sowing? Whatever you sow is what you'll reap. So if you're sowing, and we see what verse 8 says, but we'll get there next week. So whatever you're putting out there is what you're going to harvest. So if you're putting nice nasty out, you're going to harvest nice nasty. If you're putting hateful, jealous vibes out there, you're going to harvest hateful, jealous vibes. And some of us are self-fulfilling prophecies. We don't trust nobody, so we sow distrust, and we be wondering why we reap distrust in other people. Well, I don't know if they really like me. That's why I ain't share my business, because they ain't like me anyway. Well, you never thought. Look what you sow. You didn't present yourself to be a trustful person to begin with. And so how you gonna reap trust if you don't sow trust? So part of the sowing is what you sow. The second part of the sowing is how it is sown. So we see Jesus in the parable of the sower talking about good ground versus hard ground versus what looks like things and how the thorns grow up. So it's not just what you sow, but how you sow what you sow. And a lot of us are sowing things that may be quote unquote good in bad ways, and it's falling on hard ground. And so instead of just delivering a compliment and saying, you look good today, you say, girl, give me that dress. Which what you meant was, I like your dress and would love to own something similar to it that would compliment me. But then you have scattered your seed in a way that it's not in good ground. Because I'm sitting there like, why are you always asking for my clothes? Like, it doesn't sound like. And then you got to reevaluate. Am I really speaking a compliment, or am I speaking from, do I just want her clothes? So if I always give you everything I have on, are you going to be happy? Or are you just going to want the next thing I put on? Because I got to put on clothes. And we don't think about how we sew. The third thing is how much we sow. And so it's not just what is sown and how you do it, but how much you do it. And when you think about gardening, you don't take one seed and put it in one plant and expect to have 17 plants. And I started to bring a bag of pennies. The word says that you can get 30, 60, 100 fold. So if you sow one penny, 30 fold is 30 cents. 60 fold is 60 cents. 100 fold is a dollar. One penny will yield you a dollar. And yeah, the principle still works. But if you sow $100, the multiplication goes a lot further. If you sow 10 cents instead of 1 cent, you could reap up to $10. And so it's not about the principle of sowing and reaping. We know that no matter what is sown, if you sow more, you're going to get more. And the same principle applies in every area of your life. If you can't beat God-giving in your finances, you also can't beat God-giving in love. Because showing the love of God to other people, regardless of how they treat you, you can't outgive him in that. He multiplies it back to you. You will have people coming to love you and love on you. It may not be the people you want, but he will provide the love. And you know God provides. He'll bring the bird to drop the food in your mouth if you need it. And so if you are sowing love, there is no way you're not going to get the love back that God has given to you. If you are sowing peace into others' life, there's not a reason why he wouldn't multiply that back to you. But it's not just what you're sowing. Some of y'all are sowing a lot of money into the kingdom of God, and what you need is something else. And you're sowing the wrong thing, and then you're throwing it out there in a careless way, and then you're being really cheap in how you invest it because you don't really trust God to multiply what you have sown. If you have problems trusting other people and God lays it on your heart, just allow so-and-so to do something for you. They offered to do something to you. He sent me along the path to say, let me take care of this for you. Then you have to trust and believe that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And then you don't allow me to sow into your life, so you are not trusting me. I might be giving you something material, but you're trusting trust if I gave my word. If I gave my word that I'm going to bring you a pair of shoes, you got to trust if you have a need that I'm going to bring the pair of shoes. But then if you don't believe it and you go buy shoes, then you didn't believe that I was going to do what I said I was going to do. So how are you going to learn to trust me as a member of the household of faith if you don't allow me to be me? If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to live and thrive in me. And some people have offered some stuff to you that you desperately needed. And you didn't turn it, or you turned it down, not because of them specifically, but because you don't recognize that sowing and reaping is a principle. And sometimes I gotta trust that these other folks are going to trust or take care of me in the household of faith. That I don't have to carry this burden all by myself. That sometimes I just need some help. And so if I trust a niece to get my stuff at the end of every service, then I got to trust her to do. I can't be worried about whether she's going to do this, whether she's going to do that. If she's going to be my armor bearer, she just got to do it. And I got to learn to trust her in it. So you just have to allow your seed to be sown, and don't be deceived. Don't think you can tithe yourself into peace. Don't think you can give offerings and then get healed. You can give all the offerings you want, and if you don't sow some good healthy habits, you're not going to reap no good healthy habits. You can fool yourself all you want to. You can shout to God all you want to, but you ain't going to be able to run around this church until you start exercising on a regular basis. And some of y'all sit here and you're dormant in your praise because you're not taking care of your bodies to present it a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. You're deceiving yourself. You're going far astray from what God has given us to do. When you raise your hands to the Lord, it takes effort and energy. And if you're not raising your hands at home in praise and worship to God, when you come in here in the sanctuary, you can't do this for very long because this hurts, because you're not in the practice of doing it. You're not sowing the kind of praise that God deserves. So then you come in here on Sunday, and you want to put on the front for 5 seconds, and then 15 minutes into the service, you tired. Because you can't extend your hands. You can't yada and toda. Because you're not in the habit of doing what God has called you to do. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. And you want to see a different harvest for different things in your life. You want to see different harvests. I wish I could have the kind of friendship that Pastor Val has with other members. It's by sowing and reaping. You're going to have to call some people sometime and talk to them. You're going to have to ask some questions. You're going to have to hug somebody sometime. You're going to have to greet them with sincerity from what God put inside of you, not what other people do. Everybody in this sanctuary greets me differently, but they all greet me with love. But I am giving the love that God has given me. And I can fist bump you every time and still show the love of God with sincerity. It's what I'm sowing, how I'm scattering, and how much I'm scattering. I'm not going to let you leave without talking to you. Now, you can run around and not talk to me, but I'm not going to let you leave without talking to you. And so if you always running out the door, then you don't want to talk to nobody. And you wonder why you don't get invited to the birthday parties, the Christmas fellowships, the shopping trips. Because you don't sow brotherly, sisterly love, you ain't going to reap it. And if you want to change it with everyone, then you have to change who you are and know that it's your responsibility to bear one another's burdens. Even if so-and-so get on my nerves because they act a fool, I'm going to bear one another's burdens because that's fulfilling the law of Christ. And I believe that God can change that person, either change them or change me, to help me to appreciate the person for who they are or to make the other person aware that this is something you do that's annoying everybody and that convict them to change. God can do that. We don't want him to do that. We just want him to build the house. We don't want him to change what's inside us or change inside the other person. And he can. Amen? In due season, we're going to reap if we do not lose heart. Give God a praise offering for the word. So we are just getting started. We're going to keep it going throughout the course of the next few weeks. Amen? We got a whole new scripture to learn. And I just believe God that at the end, we're not going to be deceived. God won't be mocked. We know that what we sow, we're going to reap. And that if we keep sowing to the flesh, that we have to not grow weary and we got to take care of one another. That's what the scripture is saying. So as you are hiding those particular scriptures in your heart, I suspect, because Psalm 23 is all about what the Lord does for us. Galatians 6 about what you got to do. It's going to be much harder to learn. I'm telling you that right now. But you got to hide it just as fervently, just like Psalm 23 runs off your lips. Then you got to make Galatians 6 run off your lips with equal fervor. And Matthew 5. That's why y'all don't want to remember it, because you don't want to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, right? It's hard. So don't be fooled into why some scriptures are easier to keep. If you talk about what the Lord do, you learn that real quick. You talk about what you do, whew, and then what Jesus said you do. Yeah, y'all need to go back and get Matthew 5, 13 through 16 this week. Amen. We're going to stand and be dismissed.